Commencing today this series of messages, which I have entitled The Little Things in Life, we turn this morning to verse 4 of Genesis chapter 18. For there in verse 4 we read, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." Reference here is to three angels which suddenly appeared at Abraham's tent. And this morning our subject is how to entertain angels. Among other things, the Apostle Paul exhorted the saints at Rome to be given to distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. Romans 12, verse 14. So he exhorted the believers to give themselves to hospitality. The word hospitality means a lover of strangers. And without a doubt, Abraham was very hospitable to the three strangers that appeared at his tent. Such a virtue Paul expected to see in the church elders. For in Titus chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we have these words regarding the qualification of a bishop or an elder. For a bishop must be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. And so an elder must be a lover of hospitality. Writing to the Hebrew believers, the Apostle Paul again continued along the same theme. In Hebrews 13, verse 1, he said, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." Again, remembering what hospitality means, to be a lover of strangers. And so Paul says, we're to be a lover of good men, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. And then he says, we are to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Abraham was indeed such a person. He was an entertainer of strangers. Because on a certain day, he entertained strangers that turned out to be angels. But of the three angels that stood by him as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, one was different from the others. For the chapter begins, verse 1, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." So the Lord appeared unto Abraham as he sat in the tent door. Mark the word or the name Lord. Lord is capitalized, which means that the word Lord there is the word for Jehovah. And Jehovah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And so one of the three angels that appeared unto Abraham was God, Jehovah, the Lord himself. And when Abraham addressed this particular angel, notice that he used the divine name. For we read in verse 3 that Abraham said, "My Lord." Now, it's not the same name as we have in verse 1. But nevertheless, it is a divine name. It is the word Adonai, which is a divine name. And according to Berkhoff, the theologian Berkhoff, Berkhoff says that this name means to judge, to rule, and thus points to God as the mighty ruler, to whom everything is subject, and to whom man is related as a servant. And so it's a divine name, a name that speaks of God as being the mighty ruler. And being the mighty ruler, Berkhoff says, to whom everything is subject, and to whom man is related as a servant. That's interesting that Abraham used the word Adonai, because Abraham refers to himself as the Lord's servant. Look at verse 3, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And the person whom Abraham addressed was none other than the angel of the Lord, or the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have one of those appearances of the Lord before his incarnation. Such an appearance is referred to as a theophany. When it refers to Christ, it's called a Christophany. So where you have those appearances of the Lord Jesus, primarily in the Old Testament, and of course before his incarnation, it is referred, such an appearance is referred to as a Christophany, an appearance of Christ before his incarnation. And so Abraham had the opportunity to entertain angels that day. Indeed, he had an opportunity to entertain the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one of the angels. And as he did so, he gave to Christ and to the other angels with him one of the little things in life. We're told, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." One of the little things in life is a little drop of water. And Abraham gave to Christ and the two angels with him a little drop of water. I want us, first of all, regarding this incident involving the little drop of water, I want to notice Abraham's recognition of the angel. Here you have Abraham, and he recognizes that one of the angels was different from the others. In other words, he recognized that amongst those three strangers, are numbered with those in those three strangers was Christ. We read again in the opening two verses, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. That's important to note that. He bowed himself toward the ground. Regarding Abraham recognizing this particular angel, namely the Lord, here we see Abraham waiting. We're told that he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abraham sat in the tent door. Sarah, his wife, was inside the tent behind him. Abraham was the one who was sitting in the tent door. And he was sitting there waiting. Waiting what for? Well, the Lord had given to Abraham a promise. Chapter 17, verse 16. And I will bless her that is Sarah, and give thee a son also of her. And so the Lord has made this promise to Abraham, verse 21 of the same chapter. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And so inside a 12-month period, the Lord was going to return and bless Sarah and Abraham with a child. He didn't say give them the exact time. But he said, at the set time in the next year, verse 22, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And so the Lord said to Abraham, in the next year, he was really saying, I will return and bless you with a son. Now there's Abraham, and we all know how desirous Abraham and I and Sarah were to have a son. But now they were old and well stricken in years. Humanly speaking, it was impossible for Sarah and Abraham to have any children. But Abraham was keen to have a son. No doubt he was excited about this great event that the Lord had promised him would take place. And so there you have Abraham, and he's sitting in the door, and he's waiting for that time when the Lord would return and bless him and by fulfilling his promise that the Lord would bless him with a son. This reminds us of the father of the prodigal son. The prodigal son went out from the house into the far country. We know the story well. Spent all his living, all that he had, and riot his living. And the father of the prodigal watched and waited for his son every day, waited for his son to return. And we read in Luke 15, verse 20, and when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, from the day that the son left home, the father watched and waited for his son every day that he was away. Likewise, Abraham, from God went up from speaking to Abraham Abraham has been watching for the Lord every day, waiting for the Lord to return. And just as the father of the prodigal, upon seeing his son, ran to meet him, so when the Lord and the two angels appeared, Abraham did exactly the same thing. It says he ran to meet them from the tent door, indicating to us that Abraham has been waiting and expecting the Lord to come to us. And when he saw him, he ran to meet him. Abraham has been waiting for the Lord to come and fulfill his promise. There's a lesson for us. If Abraham waited with expectancy for the Lord to return again to his tent to fulfill the promise he had given to Abraham, then we ought to be waiting with that same spirit of expectancy for the Lord to fulfill his promises to us. However long Abraham had to wait for that day when the Lord will fulfill his promise, however long he had to wait, Abraham did not give up waiting. Sometimes we give up in our waiting. We get tired waiting. And we give up. And we say the Lord's not going to answer. He's not going to fulfill this promise. Well, when we feel like that, let us remember the words of the prophet. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2 and verse 3. So we have Abraham waiting. Next, we have Abraham worshipping. We are told in the verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, the three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham recognized one of the visitors to be the Lord. Hence the reason for him bowing before him. The words bowed himself. The words bowed himself here means worshipped. That's what the words mean. They mean the one word, worship. And it's the first time the word is used in Scripture. This word for worship. And it was to the Lord that Abraham bowed himself and worshipped. He recognized that one of the angels was the Lord. Now the obvious question is, how did he recognize him? Well, not look up at all the references, but I'll give them to you. In Acts 7 and verse 2, you have the words of Stephen. And Stephen mentions that the Lord appeared unto Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. So the Lord appeared unto Abraham, identified himself to Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees and told him to separate. Acts 7 verse 2. Genesis 12. And there, in verse 7, we read, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land." So there's the second time doesn't say the Lord appeared or spoke to Abraham. It says the Lord appeared to Abraham. So that's twice. The Lord has appeared unto Abraham. Look at chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. Notice it's the same word for Lord. It's capitalized. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham. That's the third time. And now when we come to chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, and the Lord appeared unto him. Fourth time. And so you wonder how Abraham recognized him in Genesis 18 verse 1, because he had already seen the Lord on three other occasions. Three other occasions the Lord had appeared unto Abraham. He was bound to know him and recognize him by now. And of course he did. And that's why he bowed himself. That's why those words are used. He worshipped. He worshipped because he knew one of the three was none other than the Lord himself. How well do we know Christ? How familiar are we with him? We want to become so familiar with the Lord that we will recognize him whenever he visits us. He may visit us in different circumstances in life, and we may say to ourselves, what's happening to me? Why is this happening to me? But we need to be able to recognize the Lord in those times. And recognize that the Lord is there. There are those times when we will be greatly blessed. And we shall enjoy great answers to prayer. Well, we need to recognize the Lord in those answers to prayer. Not put them down to circumstance. Not put them down to chance. But to recognize the Lord. And the more familiar we are with the Lord, the easier it will be for us to recognize him in all our situations and circumstances in life. Abraham was familiar with the Lord, and when the Lord appeared that day with the two angels, Abraham recognized him immediately. Because he bowed himself, he worshipped and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight. My Lord. Abraham recognized him as his Lord. Notice then, not only do we have Abraham waiting and Abraham worshipping, we then have Abraham's word. You will notice that when Abraham bowed himself toward the ground, that he wasn't worshipping all three heavenly visitors. Because after we read that he bowed himself toward the ground, the next word is, and he said, my Lord. So it's very evident that he's speaking to the Lord. He was actually worshipping the one whom he had addressed as my Lord. It is interesting that of the three heavenly visitors, Abraham focused his attention on the one whom he called my Lord. Remember how Peter, James, and John, when on the Mount of Transfiguration, saw the Lord with two glorified saints, Moses and Elijah. And yet, having seen Moses and Elijah and the Lord. We read these words regarding the disciples. They saw no man save Jesus only. In other words, they had their focus on Jesus Christ. They saw no man save Jesus only. And you could add those words with a little variation and apply them to Abraham, that he saw no angel, but Jesus only. He addresses the one angel as my Lord. His eyes were upon him. He had eyes for none but the one who is the fairest of 10,000. How lovely the holy angels must be. But the loveliness of Christ outshines them all. He's the fairest of 10,000 and tens of thousands of angels. So there you have Abraham, and he recognizes the angel, namely the Lord. Secondly, we notice here Abraham receiving the angel. He's entertaining angels, as Paul spoke about, entertaining strangers. Some have entertained angels unawares. And we see in these verses just how Abraham entertained these heavenly visitors. First of all, look at his welcome. We have an example just how warmly the Lord and the two angels were welcomed into Abraham and Sarah's tent. Verse 3, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. There you have, first of all, his greeting. Regarding the welcome, you have his greeting. And how we greet people into our homes makes all the difference as to whether they feel welcome or not. You know how it is when you go into a restaurant and there's somebody there to greet you and have a smile on their face and they say, welcome to whatever the name of the restaurant. We're glad to have you. Well, that makes you feel welcome. But if you go into a restaurant and there's no smile and there's no one to greet you there, and if anyone does greet you there and they haven't got a word for you, well, you don't feel very welcome. On the other hand, when we welcome folk into our home, we say, we're glad to have you. Welcome to our home. Well, they feel welcome. So it was with Abraham. My Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Isn't that interesting? He has just met the Lord and the two angels. And he says to the Lord, my Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away. He has no sooner seen the Lord than he has said to the Lord, don't leave us. Don't pass away. Whenever we welcome someone into our home, well, we don't exactly say to them at the door or make mention of whenever they're going again. Because they would say, oh, this boy wants rid of us. We'd better not be staying here too long tonight. But here's Abraham, and he sees the Lord, and he says, pass not away. Don't leave us. What Abraham is saying, stay a while. Stay with us. And this is aptly illustrated when we turn to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the Lord's ministry amongst the Samaritans, when he saved the woman of Samaria at the well, and she went back and told the men of the city, she said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the Lord ministered unto the Samaritans. And in John 4 and verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Once they came in contact with Christ, they didn't want him to leave. They enjoyed his company. Once the Lord came in contact with Abraham, Abraham didn't want him to leave. You see, believer, when you come to know the Lord, you don't want ever to be separated from him. You want him to abide with you always. Pass not away would be our plea to the Lord. You recall in the Song of Solomon how the bride, Shulamite woman, went in search of her beloved. She had missed him. And we are told that she searched and searched for him. And then we read in Song of Solomon 3 verse 4, I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him and would not let him go. Same sentiment expressed there. When she met with her beloved, who is Christ, she says, I held him and would not let him go. Pass not away. Let me illustrate it again. Turn to John chapter 1. The first chapter of John's Gospel. And there in John chapter 1, we read in verse 36, John 1 verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, that is John the Baptist saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? They had just met Christ, and they wanted to be with him. Where dwellest thou? Verse 39, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, listen, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour, 4 in the afternoon. See, when they met the Lord, they did not want to leave him. Or they did not want him to leave them. And there we have given a number of examples of those whom, when they meet the Lord, their prayer is, pass not away. Don't leave us. We all enjoy the Lord's company. Abraham enjoyed the Lord's company. And therefore he did not want the Lord to pass away. That was his welcome. Regarding his welcome, you see his greeting. And then I want you to notice his grace. Upon the Lord's arrival, Abraham said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away." The word favor means grace, which we often describe as unmerited favor. Somebody says, "What does grace mean?" We say, well, it's unmerited favor. We are favored and we don't deserve it. Unmerited favor. And so Abraham recognizes that he did not deserve such a visit from the Lord. He has been favored. The Lord has been gracious unto him. And this we must recognize also, that when the Lord visits us in blessing, it is an act of grace. Mary was told that she had been chosen to be the mother of Christ. And in Luke chapter 1 verse 30 we read the words of the angel to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." As it said of Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham recognized that he had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was pleased to visit him. Mary had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord had chosen her to be the mother of Christ. So let us also remember that when the Lord favors us, we don't deserve it. It's an act of God's free and sovereign grace. So we have noted the welcome. Now we note the water. "Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." After the welcome, here we see that Abraham speaks about a little water. Here we have one of the little things in Scripture, one of the little things in life. A little water may not seem very much, but a little water would be appreciated if someone was dying of thirst. They'd be glad of a little water. And the little water that Abraham brought to the Lord and the angels proved to be, first of all, very important. Regarding the water, it was important. I say important because in entertaining visitors, it is most important to give those visitors water to wash their feet after walking the dusty roads. And it is important because in the list of things that Abraham gave to the Lord and the elders, you will notice a little water is mentioned first. That tells us how important it was. It is mentioned first. We can see the importance of this practice of giving visitors water. We can see its importance in other places. If you look at Genesis 24, and we'll not multiply these texts, but in Genesis 24, we read there in verse 32. And the man came unto the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet. This is the servant of Abraham who went out seeking a wife for Isaac. And he had come to the house, and straw was given for the camels, and we are told water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. Do you notice there? The water was given to Eliezer, the servant, first. He was given the water before he was given the food. That shows us how important the water is. And Abraham gave the Lord and those with him a little water. Once again, water was supplied to wash the feet before the food was given to satisfy the hunger of the travelers. The reason being, of course, that travelers needed to wash the dust off their feet after covering many miles. And in entering the Lord and the angels into the tent of Abraham, Abraham attended to first things first, and that was to give them the little water. You recall the woman of the city, whom the Pharisees described as a sinner, but the Lord had washed her clean from her sin. You remember how she came into the house of Simon the Pharisee, stood behind the Lord, and what was the first thing she did? She washed his feet with the tears from her eyes. And the Lord rebuked the old Pharisee and said, I come into your house and you offered me no water. But the woman did. It was the water from her tears. And in washing the Savior's feet, it was an act of adoration. She was adoring the Lord. And the Lord Jesus here was adored by Abraham as he gave him a little water for to wash his feet. There you have, in giving the water to the angels and to the Lord, something he did immediately. And then you will notice the instruction. Abraham was a very rich man with many herds of cattle, silver and gold. Genesis 13 verse 2. But in entering or in entertaining his heavenly guests, he offered the Lord a little water. A little water, and then we see that the Lord, what the Lord did with the little water. Verse 5 says, and they said, so do as thou hast said. In other words, Abraham said, I'll give you a little water, and the end of the Lord says, so do as thou hast said. In other words, he accepted the little water. That teaches us that whatever we do for the Lord and his name, he'll accept it, no matter how little it may be. You recall how the widow put in her mite. Wasn't very much, it was little, but the Lord accepted it. And whatever little we do for the Lord will accept it. The lad brought the Lord the loaves and the fishes. It was a little offering. But then we read that the Lord accepted it and used it. to his honour and glory in feeding the 5,000. Twice he describes himself as the Lord's servant. Here's the implication of giving to the Lord the little water and the other things. Twice Abraham described himself as the Lord's servant. Verses 3 and 5. 2 in the Bible is a number of witness. And here Abraham was bearing witness to one and all. I am the Lord's servant. I'm willing to bow down and wash his feet. And you recall how the Lord Jesus taught the lesson on humility to the disciples. How did he do that? By washing their feet. By saying, I am your master, but I have been your servant today. And so feet washing was the task of a servant. And Abraham made it clear that he was the Lord's servant. You'll notice the willingness of Abraham. Press on quickly. The willingness is seen in the fact that whenever he saw the Lord and the angels, it says he ran. He didn't lag behind. He wasn't slow in responding to the presence of the Lord. It says he ran. If you look again in verses 6, and Abraham hastened unto the tent, said to Sarah, make ready quickly. Verse 7, Abraham ran unto the herd at the end of the verse, and he hasted to dress it. Does that not all convey to us the spirit of willingness? Running here and there to accommodate, to entertain these angels? As David said in 1 Samuel 21 verse 8, the king's business requireth haste. The word haste means urgent. When it comes to the Lord's work, we need to be urgent about the Lord's work. For the night cometh when no man can work. In the last place, we have Abraham's readiness and the angel. Reading the narrative of this incident, we cannot help but notice how ready Abraham was in his entertaining of his heavenly visitors. First of all, there's the provision. The provision. He gave to his heavenly visitors a little water to start with. And then we are told, he said that he would fetch a morsel of bread. Then in verse 6, they were given cakes, and they were given a calf, and they were given butter, and they were given milk. You see from those things that Abraham gave to the angels that Abraham was generous. He was generous in his giving. Being rich in silver, gold, and cattle, the Lord had certainly prospered his servant. And now we see him giving his guests as the Lord had prospered him. That's how we are to give. 1 Corinthians 16, and in the opening verses there, 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Paul says, give as the Lord has prospered you. Abraham gave to the Lord and the angels as the Lord had prospered him. You have his, he would see that he was generous, he was gracious. In all of his giving that day to his heavenly visitors, Abraham gave the best. He told Sarah, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. fine meal refers to the best meal. You'll see that in Leviticus 2 verse 1. In the offering for the Lord, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. So Abraham gave to the Lord his very best. And you'll notice indeed what the Abraham gave to the Lord. He gave him five things. He gave a little water, a morsel of bread or cakes, the same thing. A calf, the very best of a calf, young and tender, and butter and milk. He gave the Lord the best. That's how he entertained these angels. That's how he entertained the Lord. He gave the Lord his best. Not only the provision, look at his place. Whenever he gave all these things to the Lord and the angels, we read in verse 8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them. When the Lord and the angels arrived, we're told they stood by him. But now Abraham's standing by them. What does that tell you? Once again, he's taking up the position of the place of a servant. He's waiting there for orders to be given. Just like a waiter in a restaurant, they come and they serve the table, and they're always there round about. If you need anything more, they're there. They're ready for you to call them. Abraham stood by that table that was spread under the tree, and he stood by, waiting to be given orders. He was a true servant. That's how Abraham entertained angels. May we learn from this lesson, this first lesson of some of the little things in life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, we bless Thee for the teaching of Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that indeed, as Paul has exhorted us, we will indeed be given to hospitality, to the entertaining of strangers. For some have even entertained angels unawares. And Lord, we know the word angel means servant. And O Lord, we pray that we'll be ready to entertain the servants of the Lord. And so, dear Father, bless this word to our hearts. May we have learned from it today. And we ask Thee, Lord, that we'll meditate upon it even today and think it over and even read over that passage of Scripture again, that we might glean even more from Thine infallible truth. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other, and Thy will return us, Lord, to Thy house this evening to learn more about Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.